God is always letting you know that God, the Most High, will always have the last word.
The Names of God, Part 9, El Elyon.
Well, thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. We welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or social media. Welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight and joy to have you to tune in and join us. I would like to share just a little humor. A mother was preparing pancakes for her young sons, and the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. And the mother saw an opportunity for a moral lesson. She said, "If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" The oldest boy turned to his younger brother and said, "You be Jesus." Well, we are sharing in a series entitled The Names of God, and we finally finished Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. I had a lot of fun going through Psalms 23. And so I think we've shared about four names. I believe this is the fifth one. We've talked about Jehovah Rohi, we've talked about Jehovah Shammah, we've talked about Jehovah Sabaoth, we've talked about Jehovah Gamola. So we've talked about, I believe, four names so far, and I believe this is the fifth one. And today we're talking about El Elyon, El Elyon, one of the names of God, El Elyon, El Elyon. You know, each of God's names, they reveal a wonderful aspect about God's nature, about his character, about who he is. And so one name isn't adequate enough to be able to describe the totality of his person, of who he really is. And so that's why God revealed himself through all of these covenant names throughout the Bible, because there were just so many different wonderful manifestations of himself. And God really, you know, he's depicted in so many wonderful ways, and each name is just a separate picture of that part of God and of his person. And so we're just sharing all of these names. All of these names help us to grow in our faith, help us to trust and remember and be reminded of this part of God that's active and operative in our lives. And so El Elyon, the one we are looking at today, El Elyon, it actually means the God Most High, the God Most High, the God Most High. Elyon means uppermost, uppermost. It means in the highest highness, the highest highness, means supreme, lofty, elevated, high in rank, means exalted, El Elyon, the God Most High, or the Most High God. The name carries authority on our behalf because God becomes the Most High over all of our circumstances. He is higher than all of our circumstances, and so the name carries authority. The name carries authorities in our lives. The root word of El Elyon, it actually comes from the root word Allah, which means to go up, means to ascend, means to climb, means to exalt. And so it's a name, El Elyon, it's a name that says that there's nothing higher. He is the Most High God. There is nothing higher. There is no one greater. There's no God or there is no thing that exists that is higher than the Most High God. It's nothing that compares to him. He is El Elyon, the Most High God. He is the Supreme. It shows his preeminence. It shows his priority, his importance, his weightiness. He's the Most High God. It's a name that says that he is untouchable in quality, and incomprehensible in power, and might. His name is greater than any other name in existence. It carries authority and it carries weight. His name is high and lifted up. His name is high and lifted up. His name is worthy to be praised. And it's the only name that's worthy to be praised. And so he's the Most High God. He's the Most High God. He deserves our high praises because he is the Most High God. He is the Most High God. You know, this name is actually, out of all the names of God, this is the name of God that Satan wanted the most. Satan wanted this name the most. And you can hear it over in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. This is the heart of Satan is what he's saying here. He says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So Satan's ultimate dream, he wanted to be the Most High God. So this is a name of God that Satan wanted more than any other name. He wanted to be the supreme being. He wanted to be the Most High. He wanted to be the highest exalted. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God himself. I want you to notice something. There's something interesting in those two verses there in Isaiah 14, 13 and 14. It was five times in five different ways Satan said that he wanted to be the Most High. He said it five times in verse 13 and 14, five times that he wanted to be the Most High. And so God actually answers him in the next set of verses, in verses 15 through 20. Satan said, I will do this and I will do that, how he would exalt it. He wanted to exalt himself and all of that. And so God responded. Satan gave his five by saying, I will. God responded by saying, you will. And I'm going to give you God's five. God gave his five in the next five verses, verse 15 through 20. God says, number one, Satan, you will be thrown in hell. He said, number two, you will be looked at, gazed upon, and made a spectacle. Number three, you will be talked about, mocked, scorned, laughed at, made fun of. Number four, you will be cast out of your grave like a carcass. Number five, you will be alone. So Satan gave his five what he will, and God told him what you actually will be. And so God was basically saying, don't challenge the Most High. Don't challenge the Most High. I am the Most High, and there is none that compares to me. You're no match to me. So Satan, a lot of people think that Satan is a match for God. He's not. He's not. Satan is just a created angel. He's no match for God. God will flick Satan out you way you flick a fly off your finger. And so when God, he told Satan all these things, he says, you're going to be gazed upon, you're going to be laughed at. So that's going to come a time, the Bible says here in these verses, people are going to look at Satan and they're going to make fun of him. They said, this a little worm that terrorized the world? This a little worm that terrorized the nation? They're going to look narrowly upon him. They're not even going to believe that this is the little character that wreaked so much havoc in the earth, this little thing. And so God said, that's how he's going to end up. People are going to walk by and gaze and make fun of him and laugh. So the next time the devil is bothering you, just remind him of that. Just remind him of his future. And so what God was showing here, Satan spoke his part and then God had the last word. And God is always letting you know that God, the Most High, will always have the last word. His word is always higher. His word is always higher. There'll be thoughts and there'll be things that the devil will try to say to you and try to implant in your mind. But you always have to counter that with God's word, because God's word is always higher than anything that the devil can say. So God always has the last word. The devil will always try to exalt himself over the knowledge of God in your life. He'll always try to come against the knowledge of God in your life. And so he'll try to plant these thoughts. He'll try to tell you this and that. And all these things are contrary to God's word. And so you always respond with God's word because it's always higher in authority. It always rules over anything the devil says. And so you always respond and you always let God have the last word. And so El Elyon, he's the Most High. One of the first mentions we get of El Elyon, Abraham actually mentions El Elyon after one of his greatest victories. Abraham took about 118 men, some of his trained servants and his household. They went out and defeated four armies. And so Abraham saw the hand of God because Abraham just took his servants and went out and defeated four armies. And so when Abraham got back, he began to encounter and realize that he had just experienced the Most High God. The Most High God had given him these victories. And so Abraham began to worship and he began to call on the Most High God. He's higher than any other army. He's higher than any other enemy. He's higher than any other force. So Abraham saw, came into contact to know El Elyon, the Most High God. And so Melchizedek, when he met Abraham after that victory, he began to teach Abraham about the Most High God. And he said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, of the Most High God." And so he started talking to Abraham about the Most High God. So that's some of the first references we get to El Elyon, the Most High God. And so the encounter that Abraham had, the victory that he had with his battles, it simply reminds us that God is always, he always lifts his children higher than any problem, any circumstance that we could ever have. Any problem or any circumstance that you can ever have, God always lifts you higher. God always lifts you higher over any circumstance. He lifts us higher than our lack. He lifts us higher than disease. He lifts us higher than worry. He lifts us higher than depression. He lifts us higher than fear. He lifts us higher than addictions. He lifts us higher than anything. God is bigger than anything we can face. God is bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger than anything we can face. If you ask David, David would tell you that Goliath was tall, but God was taller. So that's the Most High God. That's the Most High God. He would tell you that King Saul was big, but God is bigger. King Saul actually tried to kill David. I think it was several times. Some accounts say that he tried to kill David up to 21 times, and the Most High protected him. The Most High protected him. And so David learned something about the Most High. He had all of these wonderful experiences of how the Most High had protected him. And so David writes in the Psalms about the Most High quite often. And so we get a very diverse, descriptive view of some of the workings of the Most High in our lives through David. You can see it in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so it also talks about, later on down in Psalms 91, it talks about the Most High again. And so David, he begins to reveal. Let me share some of the scriptures where he talks about the Most High. In Psalms 18, verses 13 through 17, it reveals El Elyon as our voice of victory. Our voice of victory brings us victory. El Elyon is our voice of victory in Psalms 18. It's one of the manifestations of El Elyon. We are to give voice to his word because his word is your voice of victory. Give voice to his word because his word is your voice of victory. His word has no voice unless you give it voice. His word has no voice unless you give it voice. So God's word becomes our voice of victory. And that's operating from a place of understanding who El Elyon is because he backs up his word. He backs up his word. He is the Most High God. Then in Psalms 21, verse 7, it reads, it says, through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. And this means that when we trust the Most High, that our security and our stability, we are unfazed, we are unwavering, we are solid when we trust and rest in the Most High. I love that. I love that. Let me read it again. It says, through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. So there's something that gives us security and stability when we trust in the Most High. Because of the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. And so we're secure. We have stability. We won't be shaken when we trust in him as the Most High. Then Psalms 57, verse 2, it speaks of the Most High performing and accomplishing all things on our behalf. I love that. It says the Most High performs all things and accomplishes all things on our behalf. And then here's another one, Psalms 78, verse 35, says that they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. They remember that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Now we see Jesus and El Elyon are one. Jesus is our redeemer. And so Jesus is our rock. He's the rock that followed Israel. So now we begin to see the picture that El Elyon and Jesus are one. And I'm going to show you that. I'm going to take you there and show you that in just a second. Take a look at this. This is over in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We begin to see El Elyon in the life of Jesus. We begin to see that Jesus and El Elyon are one and the same. I love it. I love it. I love it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, wherefore, here it is, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's El Elyon. He's the name above every name. And so Jesus is the same as Jesus shares the same as El Elyon. Jesus is the Most High God. They are one. Jesus and El Elyon are one. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every demon is going to have to bow. Everything in heaven, earth, and under the earth will have to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. He's El Elyon. Jesus is El Elyon. El Elyon and Jesus are one. I love that. I love that. He's been given a name above every name. In fact, you're going to actually find out all the covenant names of God are rolled up in the name of Jesus. I love that. So if you ever in a situation where you can't remember all of these covenant names that I've taught, just say Jesus. That'll cover all of them. That'll cover all of them. Just say Jesus. He is the Most High God. He is the Most High God. So I love that. I love that. Let me show you some more. Talks about Jesus and El Elyon being one. Notice this. Notice this one here. This is in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 20, talking about the greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's what Satan was after. Satan wanted that name. He wanted that name. That's what Satan was trying to get. Satan was trying to become the Most High. So that's exactly what he wanted. But because of Jesus' obedience, because he was obedient unto death, God raised him up and exalted him and gave him a name. He gave him El Elyon. He gave him El Elyon, the Most High God. Jesus and El Elyon are one. Now you may be thinking, Because God is so high, because he's so lofty and he's so supreme, and it makes him sound so far off. It makes him sound unreachable, makes him sound untouchable, makes him just sound impersonable. We have no way of getting to him. Oh, I'm glad you all had that thought. I'm glad you all had that thought. Now, listen to this. Here's, you find out where we are in relation to God. He's the Most High God. He seems out of reach. He just seems too far above us. We could never reach him. We could never have contact with him. But I love this. I love this. This is Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ, made us alive with Christ, by grace are you saved, verse 6, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now we are in Christ Jesus. He raised us up together with him. We're seated together with him. We are right there with the Most High God. Now, where this really comes into play in your life is when you realize now that you're seated in the Most High. You're seated in the Most High. And because you're seated in the Most High, everything, every circumstance, every enemy is already under your feet, because you're seated far and above everything. It's already under your feet. I was reading a testimony of a lady. She was set free from depression. She had severe anxiety and depression. And she got a hold of this one verse here in Ephesians chapter 2. She got a hold of that one verse, and she began to realize, she said, depression is a name. She said, that's a name. And she said, we're seated high above every name. Every name. She said, depression is a name. Jesus is above every name. And we're in Christ, so we're seated high above every name. And so she started meditating on that, and she started seeing that depression was under her. She got a vision and she saw, depression is under my feet. I have authority over depression. So anytime she would be attacked with depression, she would just begin to see and take authority. She said, no, depression, you're under my feet. I'm seated in heavenly places, high above every name. And you have a name, so that means I'm high above you. I'm high above you. And she was delivered out of her depression because she began to see that she was high above. Because of Christ Jesus, we're seated together with him, in him. We're in Christ. We're in Christ, and we're seated far above any other name. Far above any other name. The Most High, he's higher than any name. It's higher than cancer. It's higher than heart disease. Higher than depression. It's higher than lack. It's higher than sorrow or grief. He's higher than envy. It's higher than unforgiveness. It's higher than a pandemic. This name is higher than any other name. And we are seated far above any other name in Christ Jesus. That's who El Elyon is, and that's who we are in him. He's raised us up together to sit together with him in heavenly places. We are seated with the Most High. Isn't that good news, man? That's shout news. That's shouting news. We're seated with the Most High. And so you have to get that revelation. You have to get that revelation. Anytime you're dealing with any circumstance, you have to now see yourself seated high above it. If it has a name. If it has a name, you are high above it. You're high above it. And so now you walk in your authority. This is the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. I am high above. When we realize our place in Christ and take our place in Christ, you're seated with him, high above any other name. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just so grateful of our wonderful position in Christ Jesus, that he's elevated us and raised us up together with him, above all the other stuff. You're above it. You are above it. You're seated together with him. and heavenly praises. Far above all principalities and power. You're far above the devil. That means there's nothing he can do because you're far above him. You're far above him. Far above him. You're far above sickness and disease. You're far above it. You're far above lack. You're far above it. You're far above it. When you meditate on that, you get the picture of El Elyon and who you are in him. He's raised you up because he's the Most High God. He's raised you up to be with him, to reign with him. Oh, man, what a wonderful position. What a privileged position that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Man, that gets me so excited. Praise God. Those of you who are watching us by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can watch this entire message and this entire series on the names of God absolutely free of charge. You can also email it to a friend. Thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part 9 of the series titled In the Names of God, subtitled El Elyon by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7928. That's 7928. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 7928 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often because, brother, you need the word.